Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Merry Christmas season. Hanukkah starts on Christmas Eve, Tony, as well. I got a lot of Jewish friends that I work with at Sirius that are getting ready to celebrate. So whatever you celebrate, Festivus, by the way, Festivus, happy Festivus is the top trending topic on Twitter right now. The number 10 trending topic on Twitter is feats of strength. If you don't know what, you may have heard of Festivus, if you don't know that the two of those go together, that makes me feel even that much older today, right? I mean, a hacker right now is scratching his head going, dirt, I don't know what he's talking about.
I was out with some friends last week, actually, and we were in some store. I can't even remember which one, and they had a Festivus poll, right?
Did they? You could buy a poll?
You could buy a poll.
That's awesome.
I had, like, friends with them, and they were like, what is that about? I was like, well, when you're holding the poll, you get to air your grievances.
Maybe we should do that today, Tony. Should today be airing of the grievances day?
Why not?
Well, the poll will symbolically be the phone line or the text line or whatever the case may be. Or has this whole season been one big airing of the grievances?
A little bit.
It kind of feels that way, right?
But it feels like there's a chance to exhale with the news early this week. And so if you still got something to complain about, complain about
it. If there's something on your chest, if you want to air some grievances, we'd love to hear them. If you just want to talk about this weekend's game, I doubt we're going to get many calls on that. That's my guess, but you're welcome to do that as well. Anything related to Jaguars football. I thought I did my finest work. I'm not a very clever person, Tony. I think you'll back me up on that. I thought I did my finest social media work perhaps ever this morning as we come in. And I suppose the boys of Jaguars.com were doing some kind of presentation where they had the you've seen the scene. You get the desk. And you've got the competing helmets going head to head. You see it on SportsCenter or any other set, right? Well, if you haven't seen the set that's down here now in the radio studio, it really is nice what they've done. It took a while to get it done, but you know what? Good things come to those who wait. And it's a beautiful setup down here, and they do a lot of live stuff. You see the pregame show broadcast out of here, just my pale head marring the scene. But they've got the dueling Jaguars and Titans helmets facing each other today, and I thought, what is this? By the way, look at the dust on this Titans helmet.
Yeah,
what in the world? I thought, what is this thing missing? And I went and grabbed a jar of Hellmann's and shoved it in the face mask. And it's now a thing. It's like the new handy nutrition dispenser for the Tennessee Titans because they love lapping up the Hellmann's. All right. So today, if you'd like to get in, we do keys to victory every Friday. You can do that. You can air your grievances. You can just talk Jaguar football in general. You can talk about your wish list for the coaching staff. By the way, happy birthday, Jim Harbaugh. Just going to throw that out there to tease you. He's not coming, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Hey, maybe send him a birthday tweet and invite him down to the great city of Jacksonville, Florida. He's been here before, but I don't think he's coming back to stay for any kind of semi-permanent basis.
No, my guess would be if he comes down here, it's to recruit.
Yes, which is fine. Fertile recruiting ground down here, and that's great. And, you know, he's not going anywhere, by the way. I don't think he's leaving any job. I think one day he will return to the National Football League, but I think he's going to spend a good long time with his alma mater first. But who knows? What do I know about it? So if you want to call up, talk about Jim Harbaugh, make a stump speech for him, you want to go all in on McDaniels, you're welcome to do that. A speculative piece at NFL.com today. And really, this is a case study in how to write an article out of nothing. But a speculative piece on why Jimmy Garoppolo may be on the move this offseason. I know a lot of people would be interested in perhaps pursuing him, so we'll talk about that as we go along. Mel Kiper updated his big board of rookies. In other words, you know, coming into the season, I think Jalen Ramsey was a top five guy on his big board of rookies, and he bases it on the play throughout the course of the season. So we'll see if any Jaguars fall in his top 25 at this point in time. Hint, they do. So we'll look at where they stand in comparison to their peers around the National Football League. And let's just try to have a little bit of fun on Christmas Eve here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, every Friday, brought to you by our friends at Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. Tyler Devitt is along, 641-1010, the phone number. Again, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day is asking you to give us your three keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can hit us up on Twitter with those, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Text line and phone lines open at 641-1010. Jaguars Today, live at Everbank, on the eve of Christmas Eve, on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Alan Hearn, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010 XL.
All right, here we go. A little Christmas time on Jaguars Today. We've got Monday off.
We do.
What are we going to do, Tony? We're not going to be able to recap a thrilling Jaguar victory on Monday. You're going to have to wait till Tuesday.
Guess so.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll check the tape on Tuesday. And
nobody's going to care by then.
Go back over the victory.
Let's hope. I don't know. Do we hope? I don't know. We've gone over this before. You feel however you want to feel about it. You know, for the people who are there and come out on Christmas Eve, I think you're going to want to see the team win. You don't come to the stadium to hope they lose on that day. I get it if you're hoping for better draft position. People say, hey, what's the difference between 2 and 5 and or whatever? You know, I mean, what it often is, it's not even the player, Tony. It's the opportunity to trade down. And quite frankly, I wish Dave Caldwell had been a little bit more liberal in what he would accept in some trade down scenarios, because I think he would have had a chance over the last few years to do it a couple of times. But I think he wants, you know, to be paid a premium for that spot. And that's great if somebody's coming up for a quarterback. We saw a couple of quarterback deals go down last year. I mean, what's the difference? Well, imagine if you were second last year and you didn't need a quarterback and you're in position to get the kind of deal that Tennessee did, moving back to 15, where they're still in position to jump back up in the top 10, which they did, but they picked up an extra first and third rounder this year, and they're loaded with draft capital now heading into 2017. So every spot helps, potentially, you know, because you never know when you're going to come on a fault line when somebody needs that player you don't necessarily have to have, and it creates a demand in the trade market.
No, you don't know. I will say, you know, looking at where the Jaguars are in the draft right now, it certainly doesn't feel – San Francisco feels like it's rolled over and playing dead.
Yeah, so, I agree. But they do play the Rams.
I know. It doesn't feel like they're going to win one of their last two games, though, and another win would tie them with the Bears. I'm not sure what the tiebreakers would be in that scenario. So
Well, for the Jags?
Yeah.
Well, the Jags beat the Bears, so the Bears would jump ahead of them.
Is it head-to-head? I thought it was something beyond that for draft order.
I think if it's just two teams tied, it's got to be head-to-head. I got to believe it's head-to-head if it's two teams tied.
I don't know. We'd have to look. But look, at worst, it would drop them to 4, basically, at this point. And is it worth, for a fan, is it worth dropping one spot in the draft if it means you may prevent the Tennessee Titans from winning the division?
It does prevent the Tennessee Titans from winning the division. It knocks them out of the playoffs. That's true.
If Houston beats Cincinnati.
That's a good point. Right. It potentially knocks them out of the playoff picture. Good point. And it prevents you from having a winless season in this building for the first time ever. Right? So
I get it. And look, we've talked about this before. I get the argument of, you know, being okay with your team losing if it helps your draft position. And I totally get that. And honestly, I have no issue with it. I think it's more difficult in action with what's happening this Sunday, considering they haven't won a game in this building. You just saw the head coach get fired, and you have the opportunity to potentially knock out the Titans, which if you look at the AFC South, the most dangerous team in the AFC South in the playoffs looks to be the Tennessee Titans.
I agree.
They're the most likely to win a game. I don't think Houston is going to beat anybody in the AFC playoffs right now, though I guess they could. They already beat Kansas City earlier this year, so they'd get them in their own building again most likely right now if the playoffs were to begin in the AFC. So I guess there's that chance of that, but you saw what Kansas City did to them last year. Houston doesn't look like it's going anywhere. Tennessee feels like a team that could potentially make some noise in the AFC playoffs. So from that perspective, if you just want to see the team that wins the division get humiliated, I think the chances are much higher of Houston being humiliated than the Tennessee Titans. And they're still the Titans and the most hated team in this division.
Tyler just forwarded me the standings, draft order tiebreakers, right? And he says strength of schedule for the previous season, meaning this season, previous to next year's draft.
So the weakest is highest?
Is the first tiebreaker. Right. If you have
the weaker schedule gets
the higher
pick. If
you have
the
same record, right, if you're 3-13.
And the Jaguars would have to be ahead of Chicago in that. Because they're playing in the North, right? Like, they're playing in the North, so they got Green Bay and
right, but the Jags played all those teams once at least.
Yeah.
Right, so there's some duplication there. I would suspect, how is head-to-head if two teams are tied? I know, but, I mean, what else are you going to determine who is the worse or better team? That's why you play the games. That's a little disturbing. But regardless, it'll fall where it falls. You don't have to worry about doing the calculations. The NFL will figure it out for you. 6-4-1-10-10. Theo in Arlington going to lead us off this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning. Merry Christmas, fellas.
Same to you, buddy.
Thank you.
All righty. Keys to victory. Number one, I would say there's a bunch of them, but number one, don't let Mariota go off a big run. He could break a 40, 50 yarder. And I would say my second one would be contain Delanie Walker. He's a really good pass catching tight end. Their receivers really don't scare me. And my last one would be find a way to put points on the board. Don't get stagnant. Just find a way to win the game and ruin their playoff chances. I hate that they're going to win the division more than likely.
All right, I don't know if it's more than likely, but they certainly I would pick them to win right now because, yeah, quite frankly, I think they'll beat the Jaguars on Saturday. You know, hope I'm wrong, but I think that's the likely scenario, and I think they're the better team at this point in the season than the Houston Texans are, but that's still to be determined. But I appreciate the call, Theo. Merry Christmas to you and yours. You know, it's funny with Mariota, Tony. He had that huge run against the Jaguars last year, as we all remember, a backbreaker, but he doesn't run all that much. You know, I think I saw something maybe going into last week, he was averaging like 27 yards per game or something like that. For a guy who has clearly, I would imagine he's one of the top two or three runners in the league at this point. He may be the best quarterback runner in the league. He's a different kind of runner than Cam Newton is. You know, Cam's getting a little bit more banged up as his career goes along. Cam is certainly an outstanding open field runner. Whether he's first, second, or third, it doesn't matter. Mariota's one of the most the fastest, quick, and used to running. You know, it's not just that he's a great athlete. He ran a ton in college. And certainly you don't want your quarterback doing too much of that in the National Football League. I think that's the thing that's impressed me as much as anything, is he's been able to maintain a high-level passing threat without really being predicated on the threat of his legs. He's got a great running game behind him, and that helps tremendously. But he's so damn accurate in the red zone, but he doesn't take off and just tuck it and go as much as you think he would with the capability that he's got.
No, I mean, look, he coming into the league, you knew he was a guy that potentially could be very effective with his legs. And to this point, he's been effective, but I don't think he's been overly reliant on it, and some people may be surprised by the fact that he hasn't been. And you're right, in the red zone he's been just unbelievable. Looking at his stats again for his career in the red zone, he's completing 63% of his passes, 32 touchdowns. That's on, let's see, that's on just 59 completions. So 32 of 59 completions have gone for touchdowns. Still hasn't thrown an interception, so 32 to nothing his touchdown to interception ratio when he gets down to that part of the field. And that's not even including the value he adds as a runner in that part of the field as well. So he's been really effective and more effective throwing the ball than I think a lot of the people expected him to be. And it's being helped even more this year by the fact that they run the ball really, really well in Tennessee, and they got two guys back there that can get the job done, and DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, and that's taken some of the pressure off Mariota at times. He's still been able to carry him, and look, they are what we all thought the Jags could be this year, is what Tennessee is. That team that just keeps finding a way to win these close games.
Wasn't it eerie when Jim Wyatt was on the other day, you know, as you say, you know, I thought last offseason, keeping in mind, this is the team that earned the second overall pick. They traded around, and they didn't end up using the second overall pick. But he said, I thought this was a team that could win 10 games because they were competitive in a lot of games, and I felt they were close. And if the breaks went their way and they made a few extra plays, and lo and behold, it's gone fairly close to that script. They may not end up winning 10 games, but they're a division competitor. And I sit here and think, you know, people say, oh, how could you have felt the same way about the Jags? I kind of did. I didn't think they'd be a 10-win team, but I thought they'd, 8.5 was kind of the number. I was right around 8-9, somewhere in that range, so wasn't very far off that. And obviously, I was drastically wrong. But there are a lot of reasons I think you go into next year if they get better quarterback play. That's the difference between the Jags and Tennessee. Mariota looks like, right now, a guy who's going to be on a steady improving incline. And so far with Blake, it's been up, down.
And Blake most, has
more,
weapons.
More down.
And Mariota's throwing. Or Mariota. Mariota.
Who are you? Roger Goodell?
Roger Goodell here, yeah. And Mariota's throwing to nobody. I mean, they traded his number one receiver in the offseason.
Relatively nobody.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Rashard Matthews has been a good player.
He's a nice player.
Yeah.
He's right. He's, but, and Delanie Walker's an excellent tight end.
And you look at who they beat. And maybe that's the more frustrating part for Jaguars fans is you look at who Tennessee has beat. They beat Detroit, who looks like they may win the North. They beat the Miami Dolphins, who are in competition for a playoff spot right now in the AFC. They beat Green Bay, Denver, and Kansas City now in back-to-back weeks. I mean, those are big-time wins.
No question about it.
And it's the Jaguars, they may have competed. They compete with a couple of those teams, but they don't find a way to close it out. And Tennessee this year has done it. I mean,
right.
Those are big, big wins.
That Kansas City win was very impressive, considering where Kansas City was in the picture in the playoffs, and that they were down and able to come back and screwed up, in my opinion, the decision going for two, didn't make it, and still came back and were able to get the 53-yard field goal from Suckup to win that. On the text line, driven by Duval Ford, said, every time I hear these Mariota stats, it just makes me want to get rid of Dave Caldwell even more. Air those grievances, baby. It's that time of year. 641-1010. Just chalk up, here's another one, just chalk up Mariota's another Dave Caldwell misevaluation. Said he drafted Blake because no other good quarterback's coming out in the next few drafts. That's not what he said. Just to be specific, he didn't say there are no good quarterbacks coming out. He said, and it's still damning, but just to be accurate, he said that if Blake had gone back to school and come out in the next draft class and assumed he had continued to progress when he was at UCF, he would have been his highest rated quarterback coming out in that class, which included Winston and Mariota.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he thought Mariota was not going to be any good. He just thought Blake would be better than that.
And he thought so Blake would be better than Jameis and Mariota.
Right, and
so
far
wrong.
That's shown to be dead wrong, which is, again, when you couple that with hiring a coach who went 14-48, why a lot of people feel that the house cleaning should have gone deeper, got to sweep those corners, and it didn't. And, you know, look, I'm going to root for Dave Caldwell to be successful as hell. Why wouldn't you at this point in time, even if you think, you know, because I think that decision's been made. I know there's some school of thought out there, Tony, that Dave Caldwell could orchestrate this coaching hiring, and that if the right coach came in, maybe he clashed with Dave Caldwell, that Shad Khan may reevaluate after the season and say, you know what, I'm going to move on. I don't buy that personally. I think the decision's made. I think Shad Khan is a guy who pretty much puts a plan in place and then doesn't pull the rug out from under you. And he's shown that over the last few years. Now, you can argue that Mike Mularkey might feel differently, but he didn't put Gene Smith in place. He inherited Gene Smith, and that decision was made by Gene. So when he put his guy in place, he enabled him to make the decisions that GMs do, which often includes firing the incumbent coach. So
it does. And look, because I'm kind of in the camp of if it was me, I would have made the decision to clean house, and Caldwell wouldn't be the guy making the decision. But there is that, again, yes, I want him to be successful, and there is the chance out there that he learns from the mistake he made hiring Gus Bradley, and he learns from the mistake he looks like he made drafting Blake Bortles, and he makes a better decision about those two positions going forward. That's basically what you have to hold on to for everyone who's in that camp that says Dave Caldwell should be gone, is the idea that, okay, he made a mistake. Does he learn from it? He has to, or you're looking at an organization that in 4 or 5 years is going to be playing this game again.
641-1010, let's go to the phone lines. And Miss Donald joins us from the north side this morning. Good morning, Miss Donald.
Good morning. Nice to hear from you all again. I haven't heard from you at all in about a year. Well, first of all, I called about the coaching situation now with Tom Coughlin. Now, I think that's who we need to have for our coach, because those coordinators they bring in Jacksonville is not working. And we need an experienced coach to lead this team. Tom Coughlin, if he come here, we will go to the playoffs. If those coordinators take it over, we looking to rebuild 2 and 3 years. And we made a mistake because, but I agree with what you said earlier. Caldwell should not be handling nothing down in that front office, because he may be listening to certain people and don't want to hire Tom Coughlin. If we pass up on Tom Coughlin, we're going to be a sorry team. We're going to regret it.
Well, look, he's the top of my list, Miss Donald. We appreciate the call. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and Happy New Year, okay? Don't
your
be a stranger.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye-bye now. All right. look, I'm on record. He's the top guy on my list. But, I'm going to give whoever comes in that opportunity to prove me wrong. Not even prove me wrong. I'm not saying there aren't more than one qualified candidate out there, Tony.
No.
I think he's the most qualified candidate.
No, I totally agree with you. I also think because he's the most qualified candidate that, look, I don't think LA's happening because it just doesn't feel like he wants to go to the West Coast, but other jobs may be opening up. in the next month or so, and there may be a job that Tom likes more than Jacksonville. Like, I do think there's still the possibility of that being out there, and as hard as the Jaguars may pursue him or not pursue him, I don't know how exactly that's going to work. Tom may decide that he's better off somewhere else.
I don't have, and that's fine, because I've always said in this process to you privately that I think it'd be an incumbent, if we're in this situation, whoever the GM is, that if Gus Bradley is not retained, which we suspected he wouldn't be, that your first order of business is making Tom Coughlin tell you no. Right? Or at least getting it right. I mean, that to me, that's the way I would pursue it. Explain to me why this is not a good fit. If you don't feel it's a good fit, I'm not, you know, I don't want you here if you don't want to be here kind of situation. And that's out of the control of Dave Caldwell. He can present, you know, or interview him. He's not even, it's not like you're even wooing him. You're not recruiting Tom Coughlin in a sense. You're, it's a two-way street here. And I get it. Dave Caldwell is going to do his due diligence, and I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, no matter who he hires, because what other choice do you really have? You know, I just don't want to go into 2017 with a defeatist attitude of I didn't get the guy I wanted if I don't get the guy I wanted here. By the way, I mentioned Garoppolo earlier. I know a lot of people like the idea of Josh McDaniels being hired as a head coach here. He may be somewhere this offseason, and then in turn, perhaps at least pursuing a trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, who's worked under his tutelage up there in New England for the last couple of years. We'll tell you what NFL.com had to say about the possibility of Garoppolo, the speculation of whether or not he will be available on the trade market this offseason when we return in a moment. 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get in. You know how to do it on the phone lines, on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, Twitter, Facebook, all that out there. Looking for your keys to victory as we do every Friday. And your airing of the grievances, if you've got any, or just your general Jaguar thoughts and lamentations, whatever they happen to be. With Fat Tony, with Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey, live at Everbank. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, hour two, I'm just singing straight Christmas standards, Tony. Up and down the line, the whole hour. Woo!
All right.
Everybody excited for that? Send your requests via the text line driven by Duval.
Looking forward to you and the note on Oh Holy Night.
You want to talk about airing of some grievances, buddy? Let me try to go Oh Holy Night on you. That is my favorite Christmas
I know it
time
is.
Song. It's a fantastic song. One of my favorite songs of all time. Anyhow, let me just get to this because I've mentioned this a couple of times. NFL.com, Chris Wessling did a story. This is really just a speculative piece, and they based it on the fact that the Patriots designated Jacoby Brissett to return from injured reserve. Okay, which means that Gronk cannot come back this year, right? Even in the postseason, no matter how far they go, Rob Gronkowski is not available to them. And the speculation from Wessling, and he says, you know, from others who look at this, I mean, it's very vague, that activating Brissett suggests the team's decision makers want him to get as much practice as possible in case a Garoppolo trade thrusts him into the backup role next season. Well, it could also suggest, if your quarterback gets hurt, you want more than one alternative behind him, right? And he's shown they can win games, or at least in a pinch, he can go in and execute some form of offense for them. Obviously, it wouldn't look the same. We saw what it looked like. It was a run-heavy kind of scheme with him being very involved in the running.
Sure.
But
or they're preparing for those two trick plays they're going to run in the playoffs.
Could be.
Yeah.
Honestly, you don't know with the Patriots, but you know, the way Belichick put it is you don't need insurance until you need insurance. So we don't know. And we think, you know, like, look, obviously Tom Brady's going to take every snap the rest of the way. That's, you know, left unsaid, but you don't know. Injuries pop up. Anyway, he speculated, Wessling did, that you look at what Castle brought, which was a second-round pick, that Garoppolo, who had a better draft pedigree. In other words, people coming into the draft felt better about Garoppolo than they did about Castle, has performed well when given the opportunity. Beat Arizona this year on the road, had an amazing first half the next week against Miami, and generally performed well and has been tutored by Josh McDaniels, who's a respected offensive mind, would draw even more. So the question then becomes, how much more are you willing to give? I think the sweet spot for Garoppolo may be a low first-round pick. The Jags don't have a low first-round pick, obviously.
No.
You know, would a high second get it done? If they wanted to pursue that angle, me personally, I don't think Dave Caldwell is going to pursue that angle because he does believe in Bortles. Tony, put it this way. If you gave a high second-round pick to any team for any quarterback. Do you feel like that guy comes in as the leader in the clubhouse to start the next season?
Yes.
I do too. Right? And I don't know if Dave Caldwell is going to spend that kind of capital to make that kind of move, because I think he believes in Blake. Not that he won't let whoever's here compete with him. I just don't know if he's going to set up a situation where he's going to spend the kind of resources necessary to get a guy who has the likelihood of beating him out, quite frankly. So,
no, I'm with you.
Which
there
is another reason why some people don't want Dave Caldwell making these decisions this offseason.
And I totally understand that, because he is the guy who drafted the quarterback that's kind of flailing right now at number 3 overall and says that he still believes in him. And look, we talked about this briefly yesterday, but, you know, people calling in complaining about the offensive line, and you look at what's upcoming and what help is coming, right? Like, what's available to you to go fix the problems that you have. And the quarterback position, look, this is why it's so important to hit when you have the opportunity to take one. You have to make the right decision, because if you don't, now you're in no man's land.
Right.
Because you're thinking about trading, you know, a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. You're thinking about going into free agency and what kind of competition can we bring in. Adam Schefter tweeted out today that he expects Mike Glennon to get somewhere between 10 and 13 million, I think it was, 13 and 15 maybe.
Something like
in
that.
In free agency this year. That's the guy that we've been talking about for 2 weeks as the bring him in for competition guy. The NFL is a league where, generally speaking, you hit on your quarterback in the draft, or you're left in limbo for years trying to figure out what to do with it until you hit on your quarterback in the draft. It's very rare that Peyton Manning goes from Indianapolis to Denver. That doesn't happen very often. It's so important that when you spend that high draft collateral on a guy that you make the right decision with it. Otherwise, you're stuck doing what the Jaguars are doing right now, which is looking at all these options and saying, there really isn't a good option. What's the best of our bad options to try to fix the position? It's where they're left with because of how much Blake has struggled in 2016.
Back to the phones we go. 641-1010. Ken on the west side next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you for taking my call. I just
sure
wanted to make two quick comments about Tom Coughlin, quick good and bad. First of all, on the bad, the only thing I worry about Tom Coughlin is this happened to fire him again. But on the good, listen, he's instant legitimacy, and he can finish what he started. And I wanted to ask you one thing, Mike, about the quarterback. If it were you, how do you feel about drafting a quarterback in the first round? And if so, who would it be? Thank you, Mike.
You got it. Thank you. Merry Christmas, Ken. Tony, I can't sit here and tell you that I feel like any of these quarterbacks are worthy of a top five pick right now, right? I haven't seen enough of Mitch Trubisky to know if he's the guy. I like his completion percentage. You know, I like his accuracy, especially if you take the Virginia Tech game out, which was played in horrible weather. He's very impressive in that standpoint, but a small body of work. If, put it this way, Ken, this is the best I can tell you without having broken down the coach's tape on all these guys. If there was a guy I felt was worthy of that pick and he was available to me, I would take him.
Me too.
And let it play out. So from that standpoint, I would trade a high second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo if I felt he was the right guy. I think one of the determining factors would be if they were to hire a guy like Josh McDaniels, does he stump for that guy? And if you're going to hire him and put him in charge of this football team on the field, I think you've got to pursue or not pursue Garoppolo based on his recommendation, right? Now, that doesn't mean the Patriots are going to be compliant and play along with you, but I think that if he says, yeah, you know what, go give a second in the fourth and go get Garoppolo, then that's the direction I'm going, you know, and let him battle it out. And if you give that up and Blake Bortles has a renaissance next offseason and he outplays him, okay, I'm all right with that. You know, because it's that important. Does that mean you can't plug a couple of other holes? Perhaps so, but look at it this way. If you didn't have Miles Jack on the team this year, would it have made any difference one way or the other in this team's record? He didn't even play that much. A lot of guys, you get outside the first round, they don't contribute right away to your football team. Doesn't mean you want to just willy-nilly give away those resources, but it's not a death blow to a franchise to give up a second and a fourth round pick if you get the right guy in, or if it creates a situation where best man standing plays at a above average NFL level. I don't think they have to have top five quarterback play. You're not going to get top five quarterback play out of Garoppolo or Bortles, I don't think. You know, there are plenty of superstar elite quarterbacks. There are plenty of teams that make the playoffs, Tony, with just above average quarterback play.
No, there are, and drafting another rookie to come in and do it, I think you are talking about there's a learning curve in the NFL, generally speaking. It's not everybody gets to come into the league and get dropped behind the Dallas offensive line. Like, you just don't get that opportunity, and they add a talent like Ezekiel Elliott behind you to run the ball. Like, most teams don't have those kind of options available to them like the Cowboys did this year with Dak Prescott, and obviously it's worked really well. And honestly, look, the future is going to tell the story on Dak Prescott. He may just be really, really, really good, and nobody saw it until he started playing in the NFL. Like, he could just be one of those guys. So when you're considering your options coming up for this draft, you mentioned Mitch Trubisky. DeShone Kizer's the guy from Notre Dame's a guy who seems to be rising right now with a lot of teams. Deshaun Watson was the guy that led the list coming into this season,
Austin
but it's kind
Appleby.
Of dropped a little bit. But he's
Austin
right.
Appleby.
He's still expected to be probably a first-round pick when everything is said and done, DeShone Watson. So if those three guys you assume are going to be in the first round and you're not willing to take one, you know, if you're not going to take one of those guys at three, then what are you looking at in the second round if you're waiting for that?
You might be looking at one of those guys in the second round, quite frankly.
You could be, but if you look beyond that, I mean, the guys you're talking about in this draft are like Davis Webb from California, which I don't know what to think of that guy. Brad Kaya, I mean,
At one point, 2 years ago, I thought Brad Kaya was going to be phenomenal.
Yeah. Mason Rudolph, I mean, Chad Kelly's not going in that high in the draft, but I mean, those are the kind of options you're looking at. So if that is the decision that you're looking at, right, if you bring in McDaniels as your head coach and you're looking at what's available in this year's draft and McDaniels says, I can get something out of Garoppolo, if it's going to take a second round pick, bam,
right.
Done.
That's the thing, though. Would the
I don't
team
even know
that
if the Patriots
gave up
a that.
Second rounder to get him originally and then developed him for the last few years, I mean, he is, in
He's
terms of trade targets, right, he is going to draw more than that. I don't know if it's worth giving up the third pick in the draft, for instance. You've got to be convinced. And if you do that, you're anointing him. And you're basically moving on from Blake Bortles and acknowledging that he's not going to be with this team beyond 2017.
Right.
And you know what? That may be you a new coach doesn't get to pull all these strings. But if you look at it from the perspective of what is the best thing to do for this football team right now, Shouldn't it include blocking out what it costs to get you anybody up to this point?
Yeah.
They're here now. That's a sunk cost. You can't get those picks back, period. So operate right now on this is what we have. Forget what happened in the past. How do we make this team better now?
And that quick math that we just did looking at what's available in the draft. And look, we're not evaluating these guys the same way that NFL teams do, obviously. But what's available to you in free agency at the quarterback position? Every team in the league can do that math that quick and decide if Jimmy Garoppolo is worth that kind of price point, right?
Right.
Like, they're all going to have their price point on him, and someone else's may be much higher than Jacksonville's, right? It's just, you don't know exactly how all that's going to work out. It's a gambling game, basically. And I don't even know that wherever McDaniels lands is the most likely candidate to get Garoppolo. We don't know how other organizations feel
right.
about the player.
The Patriots don't have to send him along with his offensive coordinator wherever he chooses to go. You know, they're going to take the best thing for them, the best return on their investment. Let's get Tom in here real quick before we break. Let's welcome him on board from the beaches. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I want to throw out Kyle Shanahan. I think that's the guy the Jaguars need to go get. But another question.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Why? I'm not arguing with you. I'm just curious. Why do you think he's the guy?
I feel like the guy has been successful wherever he's gone. And I know it's not been, you know, splashy, sort of the sexy coach name. But I don't know. I feel like he's just, you know, the dark horse candidate at this point.
Okay. No problem. I was just curious. That's all. What's your other point you wanted to make?
Yeah, I mean, about, you know, with this coaching search, I mean, it seems like every year this thing comes up about the Rooney Rule. I mean, these teams are going to go out and basically get whoever they want, no matter the Rooney Rule. I mean, does this thing need to be fixed?
Well, I don't know. You know, fixed is a broad way of putting it. I think the intention of the Rooney Rule is to not necessarily compel teams to hire minority coaches in that hiring cycle. It's to help these minority coaches who otherwise weren't getting into the process get the experience of going through interviewing. And then when, you know, maybe when their profile gets raised a little bit higher, then they're ready and more prepared, because traditionally there haven't been, or you just look at history, there haven't been as many coordinator level minorities as there are position coach minorities. And usually you draw your main pool of drawing on your next head coaching hire is either former head coaches or current coordinators at the National Football League level. You can argue there, then you get a few college head coaches, but that's a low number. Rarely do you go from being a position coach to even be considered. So for these guys to get in the process, you know, listening to people like Tony Dungy, they believe it's been very helpful to certain candidates to be able to just acclimate themselves, to know what it's like, because it's an experience the first time around, to how prepared you have to be and all these things that go through it. You know, is it perfect? No, but I think it's well-intended, and I don't think it's stopped any coach, you know, minority or non-minority, from having an opportunity. You know what I mean? I don't really have a problem with it, because, you know, I do think there have been some examples of coaches who have said, hey, you know what, for me, I learned a lot just going through the process, and I wouldn't have had this opportunity otherwise.
No, and I go back to an article from ESPN that was written during the offseason. I wanted to find the details on it to share it. There's some argument that people are making that they actually ought to expand the Rooney Rule to include coordinators, because that's, like you said, that's where
the feeder system
come from. And there was an article that put it out, 80 of the NFL's current 85 offensive coordinators, quarterback coach, and offensive quality control coaches. So the offensive side of the ball, 80 of 85 are white, including all 37 with the word quarterback in their title. 23 of 32 defensive coordinators were white as of the time of the writing of that article. So the pool that they're even pulling from with the Rooney Rule is so small, because they're not getting those kind of jobs right now either. So, look, I think there is something to it. I think we've seen teams like, I don't know that Mike Tomlin was at the top of the Steelers list, but he blew him away in the interview, and they've won a Super Bowl with
right.
the guy.
He may not have gotten that interview otherwise.
Right.
And would you not take Mike Tomlin right now?
Absolutely.
In a heartbeat here? Oh, my gosh. So you may be right. Maybe the not necessarily an expansion, but an adjustment of it to create the conditions where, when it comes to hiring head coaches, you've already elevated minority candidates, because they're put into the pool and they're given an opportunity to show you that they're ready for it by their work with their staff and their players on a week-to-week basis.
Absolutely.
As opposed to just being forced into an interview type situation. Look, there's no perfect solution to this.
No, the NFL should be looking to hire the most qualified and best guys available at every position that there is.
Right, and that's the thing.
And getting the people that are more qualified more exposure for those opportunities is a good thing.
It's not a quota on hiring. It's just a situation of let's expose you to other worthwhile candidates. So, again, not perfect, but well-intentioned. I'm sure they'll continue to tweak it as they go on. Coming back to State and Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Friday's brought to you by our friends Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars today on a holiday Friday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCullough's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, December 23rd, 1962, the Dallas Texans beat the Houston Oilers 20-17 in the AFL Championship game. Dallas Texans then became the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe, right? 1972, Pittsburgh beat Oakland 13-7 in an AFC divisional playoff game on what was known as now the Immaculate Reception. Franco Harris hauled it in. Jack Tatum hit the intended receiver, Frenchie Fuqua. And keep in mind, at that time, if the ball had touched Fuqua, I believe the play was dead. Either that or if it touched Tatum. It was one of the two. If it touched the defender or the offensive player, the play was going to be dead, and another offensive player couldn't catch it. I think it was Fuqua. I think it couldn't hit one offensive player and go to another one, right? And Fuqua, till the very end, kind of wouldn't comment on whether or not he thought the ball hit him. Guess what, Frenchie? The game was long since over. It's okay. But Harris caught the ball inches off the ground, ran it into the end zone. It was the first playoff victory in Steeler franchise history. Famous birthdays for this date. Paul Hornung turned 81 today, born on this date in 1935. The former Green Bay Packer Golden Boy, the league MVP in 1961. Member of the All-1960s squad as a quarterback, halfback, fullback, all-around offensive backfield performer. Two-time Pro Bowler. Suspended for gambling. And won the Heisman Trophy on a losing team with Notre Dame. And a Hall of Fame inductee in 1986. So they'll overlook your gambling if you only do it once, apparently. 1948 saw the birth of Jack Ham, Steeler linebacker, member of the All-70s team, 8 Pro Bowls, and a 6-time first-team All-Pro Hall of Fame inductee in 1988. And, yes, we mentioned this earlier, happy 53rd to Jim Harbaugh, someone's certainly many people's near the top of their wish list for the Jaguars' next coach, but an unrealistic one, in my opinion. 1995 Comeback Player of the Year. That was the lone year he made the Pro Bowl in the National Football League. This Dayton Football brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located conveniently on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com and get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
A new spring football league is coming, and it will be loosely, kind of, but not really officially connected to the NFL. The league will run in April and include four teams and a total of six games played, according to John Clayton. The league is expected to be comprised of veteran free agent players who are apparently still looking to catch some organization's eyes. And experienced head coaches, or NFL coaches, excuse me, be used in the league as well. It is expected to be used to train NFL referees, but again, isn't directly tied to the NFL. They just get to benefit from it. From Philadelphia beat the New York Giants last night, preventing New York from clinching a playoff spot in the Eagles' home field with their 24-19 win. The Giants' loss also clinches the NFC East and the number one seed in the NFC playoffs for the Dallas Cowboys. The Giants now need Detroit, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, or Atlanta to lose this weekend to clinch a playoff spot. The one seed in the AFC playoffs could also be decided this weekend with a Patriots win and an Oakland loss. Several division races could be decided in the next couple of days as well. In the AFC South, Houston could clinch the division with a win over Cincinnati and a Tennessee loss here in Jacksonville. But Tennessee does control its own destiny in the AFC South. If they win tomorrow and then beat Houston next week, they will win the AFC South crown. Pittsburgh clinches the AFC North with a win over Baltimore on Sunday. Oakland can clinch the AFC West and a first-round bye with a win over Indianapolis and a Kansas City loss to Denver. In the NFC, Detroit can clinch the North with a win over Dallas and a Green Bay loss against Minnesota. Atlanta can clinch the South with a win over Carolina and Tampa Bay loss in New Orleans. Seattle has already locked up the NFC West. One little note here as we get ready for the Christmas weekend. Bill Belichick, we played this video last year of someone mashing up different audio clips of Bill Belichick basically to make him get into the Christmas spirit a little bit. A little taste of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Bill Belichick style.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our trouble will be out of sight. And have yourself a merry little Christmas. Now, no problem. Come on, no, then. Let's just end on a high note.
Well, Mr. Belichick yesterday at his press conference was shown the video and asked about it as a reporter showed it to him. And Belichick's response is, well, very Belichick.
Bill, it's been out a while, but somebody edited a video of you singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas at the podium right there. Have you seen it?
No, I missed it. Yeah, it's been edited, yeah.
True or false, Bill Belichick goes caroling every year.
Love caroling.
That's apparently true. He really does like to go Christmas caroling. Have you not read that before?
No, I've read it, but it's just so... Love caroling.
He's like... Well, he looked at it, he's like, yeah, that was edited. Like he thought it was going to be a real video of him, because they said at the podium. How's he not aware of this? Of course he's aware of this. He's just... on to Seattle. That's all he's doing. In. The best part of that, Tony, I think, is you hear right at the beginning, right before Have, you hear him go, just like sigh, like, here, I got to deal with you guys again. Have yourself. It's good stuff.
Good stuff, man.
That's all we got?
That's the Honda Drive, yeah.
The Honda Drive around the NFL. This hot take in on the text line driven by Duval Ford. The Rooney Rule is just a way for the NFL to fine teams under the guise of being politically correct. Well, if that's the case, they're doing an awfully poor job of it because they hardly ever fine anybody because the Rooney Rule is so simple to comply with. It practically never gets violated anymore because all you have to do is interview someone. It doesn't mandate that you hire anyone. You can hire anybody you like. Just include a minority candidate in the interview process. I know that's off-putting to a lot of people. It doesn't – there's no litmus test for how many people you hire out of any ethnic group or anything like that. If the NFL wanted to raise money, the NFL has millions of ways to raise money. If you thought this was the effective way of them to find teams, then they're doing a terrible job of it. They've got plenty of ways to find teams. Go look at how they find players every week for the different socks that they wear if they're not pulled right up high enough. I mean, the NFL's rolling in money. They didn't say, hey, here's an idea. Let's make this elaborate social construct and see if we can catch teams not obeying it so we can fine them every once in a while, like every few years. Because no one ever hardly gets fined for this anymore. You go through the process. You get it done. It hopefully benefits the candidate. Maybe it benefits you, like you said, Tony, in the case of Mike Tomlin, who they probably would not have hired, would not have been on their radar, and he was so impressive. It's like, hey, Jack Del Rio got the job here. A lot of people didn't think he would. He'd been a coordinator for, I think, 1 year in Carolina. Was it 1 or 2 years? 2 years tops. I thought it was one.
I don't remember. It was
regardless,
1 or 2, yeah.
He came in, and he blew away Wayne Weaver in the interview. Gus Bradley blew away Dave Caldwell and Shad Khan in the interview process. It's just getting yourself in front of the decision makers that's been the difficult part.
Yeah. From what I can tell, just on a quick Google search, one team in the NFL since they put the Rooney Rule in place has been fined.
And when did they put the Rooney Rule in place?
What year was that? 2000, early 2000s.
So base over 10 years, one team has been fined.
2003, and it was the Detroit Lions in 2003. Who,
so the very first year of its existence.
Who hired Steve Mariucci basically right after they fired Marty Morningwig without going through any interview process basically with anybody.
Right.
And they paid a $200,000 fine. But that's the only one that I can find.
So if that $200,000 spaced out over 13 years, they're not very effective in terms of fine. They're making more money on the people that show up to sit there and watch Media Day now at the Super Bowl on Monday night. They have plenty of ways to make money. This is not a moneymaker for the National Football League, but so be it. We'll move along. We'll look at some airing of the grievances. We've had some good ones on the text line in particular today, and some of your keys to victory, some interesting ones there as well. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010, talk about any aspect of Jaguar football, you're welcome to do that. And that's also the text line driven by Duval 40. You know all the social media avenues to get on board. Jaguars Today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Oh, holy night.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Of the
dear, I didn't think this was my best effort. Laid this one down yesterday. I don't know. What do you think?
If I remember correctly, Bing wasn't your favorite version of this song. You had one that you loved, right?
I don't know if I remember the specific one, but hey, look. Anybody that can hit the notes in this song is good with me. This song's amazing.
I don't think it was Andy Williams.
Probably not.
I think it was like a singer.
Like a Justin Timberlake,
like a Bocelli or somebody like that.
Yeah, like a tenor. Like it would be
like an
that
Andrea
type
Bocelli.
Of,
maybe it was something like that.
Yeah,
you got a Timberlake version of this?
I do.
Should have played that yesterday. Come on, I'm gonna do that. Save that for the next time coming back. I didn't think this was my best work, so apologies on that one. Let's see, a couple of airing of the grievances type texts on the text line driven by Duval Ford, and we'll hear a little bit from Jaguars interim head coach Doug Marrone. This one, how come Shad will pull the plug on his other football team, yet he's so patient, shaking my head with the Jags? I think you can evaluate anybody in 2 to 3 years. You just know. Dave must go. These are all his mistakes, and quarterback was the worst mistake. All those yards last year for Blake and touchdowns in garbage time proved just that. Right up until the last sentence, I was like right with him. I don't understand how all the yards and touchdowns last year proved that this was his worst mistake. Maybe if you're saying they happened in garbage time. But I get your general sentiment. You're not happy with the quarterback pick, and that falls at the feet of the general manager. And so
sure.
I don't think that's an unreasonable take overall. Let's see. Until the Jags get rid of those god-awful helmets, they're never going to win. There's one sitting right in front of Tony right now. Here's another one. Caldwell missed on quarterback, running back, head coach, left tackle, defensive end, has never been close to 500, but still has a job. That's not a mistake, Tony. That's a debacle. #JaguarsToday. Those must have been in reference to something you mentioned earlier. Let's see. Got any others in here? Oh, here we go. A couple more. I graduated from UCF last Saturday. With that said, I've officially gone through all of high school and college without a winning season as a Jaguar fan. They've had double-digit losses all through college. Hey, Blake, thanks for the Fiesta Bowl victory, I guess. Hashtag Happy Festivus. Hashtag what is winning? Hashtag Duval till we die. That's from Dalton. And then in honor of Festivus, I'm still PO'd that Caldwell is still at the helm of the sinking ship that is the Jaguars. He's the one that ran it into the iceberg named Gus Bradley. Watch the game tomorrow. I don't want to be further depressed. I'm going fishing instead. Definitely there has been a large subset of the get rid of Gus Bradley angst that has shifted to Dave Caldwell. No question about it. Right? Not 100% universal. And I just think that, you know, again, some people I think are still approaching it like that may still be a possibility this offseason. I don't really see that, which is a couple of concerns that this can bring up. But one concern, and I think we mentioned this yesterday, is does it limit your coaching pool? In other words, if they say, well, how strong is the job security of the GM?
Right.
Because if the GM gets blown out next year or in 2 years from now, the great likelihood is I'm going to go with him, because a new GM is usually followed by a new head coach. Not always.
Generally speaking,
but
yes.
Generally speaking. And that, you know, a guy like Tom Coughlin, I don't think would worry about something like that. I think Tom's like, hey, I'm going to roll in here and we're going to do fine and I'm going to have confidence. And he's selecting, if he were to come here, he would be selecting his final destination as a coaching candidate in the National Football League. Some of these other guys, like if you're Kyle Shanahan, you're like, do I want to get my first head coaching gig in a place that I may not have the time and stability to get this thing going in the direction I want, and I get whacked, and then how long will it be before I get back into the pipeline?
Right, and I think it feels like there's going to be a very limited number of openings this year. It may get up to five. Maybe it feels like it, but it doesn't feel like it's going to go much beyond that. So if you are a guy like Kyle Shanahan who feels like a hot commodity right now, look, I get it. You want to make that next jump. You want to get the opportunity as a head coach. But are you putting yourself in the best position if this is where you wind up going with that kind of situation hanging over your head? I don't think a guy like Coughlin worries about that. And I think a guy like Mike Smith may so desperately want to get back into head coaching that he doesn't worry about it. Right, like that's why he still makes a lot of sense to me, no matter what's going on with that kind of situation. But it does potentially at least kind of hang that over everyone's head. And maybe Shad Khan gives Dave Caldwell an extension this offseason. Maybe he does that just to make whatever coach is coming in feel better about Dave Caldwell still being here. But it feels like a Band-Aid at that point in time to me, and not something that's real as far as the long-term stability of Dave Caldwell in this franchise with the way that it's gone through the first 4 years.
Don't disagree with any of that. Let's hear from Doug Marrone yesterday, the interim head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, as they practiced. Ryan O'Halloran mentioned it was kind of cool, you know, did a little practice walkthrough in the stadium yesterday and was asked, you know, what's behind that.
You know, obviously with all the adversity, but even the contrast of weather, things of that nature, which forces players to, you know, focus on a task at hand for the day. You know, I thought the players did a nice job. Today, I've always liked to go into the stadium, especially when you're playing at home. I think it gives a greater focus to be able to talk to the players about, hey, in a couple of days, you know, we're going to see the same plays, the same defenses, those things like that. It creates a little bit of a comfort level for the players.
I'm not opposed to it.
No.
Try new things, right? And it seems like something simple. There's no negative downside to it. I don't know if it has any major positive, but maybe just a small psychological one. You know, in a season of a lot of close games but not enough victories, maybe that's what it'll take.
Maybe it will. And look, we'll see if there's a difference this week. We've talked about that, the idea of getting that bump potentially with an interim head coach. We'll see if there is any of that playing with greater emotion or whatever this week against Tennessee. Doug Marrone, speaking after practice yesterday, was also asked if he's surprised at how well the Titans are doing, and on Mike Mularkey.
I'm not surprised. They have a really good veteran staff. I think when you look at their staff, there's a lot of, I use the word pelts, you know what I'm saying, on the wall for them. They have a young team. I think that they've responded well. And it'll be a great challenge for us, especially, you know, the last two times we played them. You know, obviously we've came up on the short end. They, you know, have a lot to play for, but like I told our players, make no mistake about it, we have a lot to play for.
A little bit more here from Doug Marrone. Hi, Joe Fortunato. Joe Fortunato, maybe the only member of the Jaguar organization who came into work today. Actually, there are quite a few people here today. The PR staff,
Max.
Not among them. Yeah, Max is here. Max Hockman, who does a great job running the video for many Jaguars.com productions. Is he gone already, Joe? He popped in. What do you got there? A donut? Is that a biscuit? Or is, what are you eating there?
It's electronic something.
Oh, is it electronic something? It looked like a biscuit from this far away. Maybe I'm just hungry. I don't know. All right. Now Alex Brooks has to pop his head in as if to say, no, the entire PR staff did not take
somebody's
the day off
working
today.
Hello,
someone
PR.
Is working in the hallowed halls of Everbank. This question asked to Doug Marrone, I don't know exactly how the question was phrased, but was asked to discuss his philosophy on injuries.
I know the coaching cliche is always, you know, next man up type thing. But, you know, we're going to put, you know, players on the field that are healthy that are going to be able to help us win. And that's as simple as it is. And I think when you gravitate towards the woes me, oh, this one's hurt, oh, you know, Coach Hackett, I love him, but he's always like, we're on a six guard. I said, no one really cares. No one's going to feel sorry for you. You know, let's go. You know, hey, let's put someone in there. Let's look at it a different way. Hey, someone's going to have an opportunity.
There's nothing you could do, right? You go down, you got to play the next guy. But I'm glad at least Doug Marrone referred to it as a cliche of next man up. It's not that simple, all right? When you lose a Pro Bowler, and I'm not saying the Jags necessarily, just a team in general, you lose a frontline Pro Bowl superstar. Next man up, got to go in and do the job. Well, there's a reason he's a frontline Pro Bowl superstar. He's more talented than the next man up.
You saw it last night, and it was suspension, not injury, but the return of Lane Johnson was a massive difference for Philadelphia.
Amazing they could run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it was a gigantic difference. So there are levels of ability, even in the National Football League, and some guys give you a better opportunity to win than others. I did, you know, Doug Marrone go, nobody cares. You know, it's like, that's true. Nobody cares how beat up you are. On Sunday, they're playing the game. Somebody has to go out there and do the job. Do it. Like, that's this level of play. That doesn't mean some guys aren't better at it than others, but nobody cares in the end about how beat up you are. Speaking of nobody cares about how beat up you are, Kelvin Beachum has been limited all week. Obviously had the ACL injury coming in here, but going to be playing hurt, it appears, this weekend against Tennessee. Doug Marrone was asked about Beachum playing through injury.
It's very difficult to judge a player that's playing through pain. I would say that because we don't condone having players put on the field that are playing through injury. I think there's a difference between that. He's going out there with quite a bit of pain, and we need to take him through the week to do a good job so he's able to withstand that and still play at a winning level. You know, not only do we have Kelvin, but there are a lot of players that you see on the injury list during the week that are really working and really pushing.
Really pushing right there is what he was saying. I talked with Kelvin on Wednesday, Tony, and he was he's a straight shooter. You know, he's flat out, he's not going to sugarcoat how bad it felt to lose to the Titans the first time around, the way it went down. You know, you don't hear from Kelvin. We haven't heard from Kelvin all that much this year, but every time you do, I think he's a refreshing guy to listen to. And, you know, I asked him, you'll hear part of that conversation on the pregame show this week, but I asked him afterwards, you know, like, hey, I don't know what the process always is on these kind of things. Have you or your representatives heard anything about the team picking up your extension? He says he hasn't heard anything at this point in time, but he spoke in a manner as if he expected to be a Jacksonville Jaguar next year. And I expect him to be a Jacksonville Jaguar next year. I don't think you can start. You know, if you're going to get rid of Kelvin Beachum, you're going to get rid of 4/5 of the line, if that's the case. I don't think he, by far, wasn't your biggest problem, and I expect him to be even better next year, a year removed from injury. What was the quote that Posluszny had this morning? D-Rock tweeted it out in reference to him possibly being back or not next year.
Yeah, with Gus Bradley obviously being fired, that's been his head coach for a while here in Jacksonville, so a lot of things are going to change in the organization. D-Rock caught up with Paul Posluszny in the locker room. Paul, his quote is, I want to play these last two games as hard as I can, knowing that I may not have a future here. You take it one game at a time and say, I'm going to devote everything that I can to these last two games because this might be the last opportunity I get. Posluszny is under contract for one more year here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and I don't take that to have any hidden insight other than he knows the league and knows it's a business, and you can't take anything for granted when you're a veteran of Paul's length in the league and age and all those things. But at the price he is under contract for next year, which is what he's getting paid this year, he had a terrific year, I think. And maybe helped out by the fact that Malik Jackson's been playing well in front of him. And I'm sure that, you know, they have a symbiotic relationship between linebackers and the guys that eat up the blocks in front of them. I want Paul Posluszny back with the Jags. There's no reason cap-wise why they can't have him back next year.
No, it's around $4 million.
Right.
The question would be, okay, whatever coach they bring in, does the next coach come in and whatever defensive staff that he puts together, do they look at it and say, Miles Jack is my middle linebacker? And does that make Paul Posluszny expendable?
Right, it could.
And I think that's more what Paul's looking at is the next guy going to take a look at the guy that they drafted last year that I know is going to be my replacement on this team and say, it's time to move forward with this guy doing it? And I wouldn't be shocked if that's the direction the next guy went.
Don't you think, though, that you could get something for Paul Posluszny? I don't think they're going to cut him outright. I think you can find some level of draft pick compensation for Paul Posluszny. If you've got
probably
a contender that needs shoring up in the front seven, needs a middle linebacker, I'd take
one
Paul Posluszny
left
on a couple
yeah.
years. Yeah, but you can talk to him, right, and renegotiate a two-year extension on that. I think Paul, you know, I think he could be very much like Daryl Smith, a guy that you want to be careful not to let go of too soon. You don't want to be paying aging vets too much if they're not producing, but he did produce for you this year. He's one of the better defensive players they had on the field this year. What do we got? One more from Doug Marone talking about Allen Hurns, who's yet to return from his hamstring injury, not on IR, but here's what Doug Marone had to say about Hurnsy.
He is working like heck. You know, Dave and I had discussions about philosophy or anything, but I think when you haven't seen a player go on, you know, in reserve at this time of year, you know, there's always a chance for that player coming back, and he's working his tail off. And personally, I've always seen Allen do that, and I see him now really working to get back. And you see the expression on his face when he's watching his teammates go out there. You know, he wants to be out there with them, and that means a great deal to people in the organization, but more importantly, his teammates.
All right, there you go. That I do think that says something about Allen Hurns, because a lot of guys at this stage would be like, let me shut it down and not have this linger into the offseason, not risk re-aggravating this in week 17, and then have to deal with, who knows, a couple of months of rehab, you know,
yeah.
On top of everything else, you know, you're going to be
doing football
related.
Set undrafted guy in him. It feels like it's always going to be there.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Let's hope that's the case, because it was a lost season for Allen Hurns for the most part this year. All right. We'll take a timeout here. We come back, take a look at the fan feedback spotlight as we do every Friday, asking for your keys to victory for the Jaguars. Also, look at some more of your airing of the grievances, Festivus style, as those have been coming in on social media as well. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. Happy holidays, everybody. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
So this is Christmas.
This is the quarterback of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Ho, ho, ho. Christmas is almost upon us. Of course, tomorrow, full day coverage. You guys on the air at your normal time tomorrow?
Yeah, 8 a.m.
8 a.m., you Warren and
we'll
Blythe.
Be out of tailgaters.
All right, everyone should come out there. Are you going to dress appropriate to the season?
I could. I mean, I have an ugly sweater I could wear.
What about a Santa hat?
I have a couple at the house, yeah.
Yeah?
I do.
What are you going to do?
I may wear it. I mean, I can wear it. I don't mind wearing it.
You go full Mac Daddy Santa like Tiger?
I ain't going Mac Daddy Santa.
Put a little white in the beard and just rip that shirt off, Tony. You're all set.
It's his kid's favorite tradition, apparently.
Temperatures should be conducive to that kind of thing. Before we get to the fan feedback spotlight, I mentioned earlier, Mel Kiper updated his rookie big board. In other words, this is not future draft guys. These are guys which rookies are having the best seasons right now. He's got Dak Prescott number one, Ezekiel Elliott number two. I think it's a surprise, you know. And to me, I think Dak Prescott is more important. We talked about this, I believe, earlier in the week. I still don't understand the thought that Ezekiel Elliott is league MVP in some people's eyes. Dak Prescott is the team MVP to me. They had a 1,000-yard rusher last year, and they won four games, and they had no good quarterback play. And the quarterback play has improved much more than the running back play has improved. It's good. Ezekiel Elliott's fantastic, but I don't think it's
And really, it's the stats that he lists, that Mel lists with Dak Prescott, that kind of paint that picture. He says second in total QBR, which is an ESPN stat, second in touchdown to interception ratio at 20-4, third in passer rating, fourth in yards per attempt in the league, and completion percentage. That's NFL marks. that he's ranked in the top five as a rookie. That's incredible.
Right.
For a guy at that age, a fourth-round pick, to be putting up those kind of numbers.
Completing 67.7% of his passes.
That's nuts.
That's absurd. Jack Conklin of the Titans, that makes everyone feel good. He's number three. Joey Bosa, number four. Michael Thomas of the Saints, number five. Cody Whitehair, the center for the Bears, number six. Tyreek Hill, number seven for Kansas City. Keanu Neal, the safety out of Florida for the Falcons, number eight. Jordan Howard, the Bears running back, number nine. DeForest Buckner, the defensive end for the 49ers, is 10th. You got Chris Jones on the defensive line in Kansas City. He is 11th. Deion Jones, the inside linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons out of LSU, and he's coming in 12. Leonard Floyd, who started to come on about midway through the season, had a little run in there, but he's got seven sacks since week seven. That's pretty good production right there. Then you come to Jalen Ramsey at number 14, who last time he updated these rankings, he wasn't ranked in the top 25. Said Ramsey's has to get credit for immediately stepping in and becoming the Jaguars' number one corner. It's a tough job to match up with every team's top receiver. Ramsey has improved immensely throughout the season. He still gets beaten at times, but he's battling. Ramsey is a tremendous talent, but the one knock on him coming out of Florida State was his lack of ball skills. He only had one interception in his final two seasons for the Seminoles. He added his first NFL pick in week 15, loss to the Texans. So that's what he says about Ramsey. Sterling Shepard of the Giants at 15. Jatavis Brown, the inside linebacker for the Chargers, has been a tackling machine when healthy this year, is in at number 16. Brian Poole, cornerback for the Falcons at 17. Hunter Henry, the Chargers tight end, at 18. Taylor Decker, the offensive tackle of the Lions, at 19. Tavon Young, Ravens cornerback, at 20. Carl Joseph, the Raiders safety, at 21. And then you get to Yannick Ngakoue at 22. Ngakoue started the season with four sacks, three forced fumbles in the Jags' first four games. The third-round pick out of Maryland has leveled off a bit. He's up to six sacks and four forced fumbles this season, but he has had an interception as well. So two of the top 22 rookies, according to Mel, coming from the Jacksonville draft class.
I mean, there's 32 teams, so, I mean, not bad.
Right, but when you're picking fifth overall, you'd like your number five pick to rank higher than – look, it's just one guy's opinion. I think Everyone here is mostly happy with the season Jalen Ramsey had. It's not been a perfect rookie season, but I think you see that was a solid to excellent draft pick. And Yannick Ngakoue right now looks like a steal among the rookie sack leaders, and you got him in the third round. So
yep,
you get the job done. And I'm still – I mean, if you're not high on the talent of Miles Jack and Sheldon Day, I am very high on their talent. They just haven't had the opportunity or have not been in position or didn't take the opportunity enough to show us enough the rookie year. But – again, harken back to last year, how many people were ready to move on from Marquise Lee. Slow starts to NFL seasons are far from uncommon. So I think they did bring in a talented draft class this year, and that's one of the reasons why Dave Caldwell's still here and Gus Bradley isn't, as a matter of fact. A fan feedback question today every Friday asks you for your keys to victory. What did we get, Tony?
Here's what we got from RTC. Miles Jack as number one. Number two, go after Mariota. And three, bench Blake Bortles to limit or reduce errors, which is nice. That's the solution there. From Demetrius, control the line of scrimmage, dominate time of possession, and stop the run. From Irish Jaguar, 350 yards passing from the Elves, 200-plus yards rushing from Rudolph, and 3-plus sacks from Santa. So the Jaguars get all the Christmas characters in their lineup. And finally, from Duval Doom, number one, leave a crooked line of helmets directly behind the Titans' bench. Have safe staff mess them up every few minutes. That was a reminder that Malarkey always wanted straight lines of helmets, and so he wants to mess a little bit with Malarkey's OCD there. After that, spike the complimentary mayonnaise in the Titans' locker room and pull a Tonya Harding the second Mariota gets off the plane.
Now, by spike it, I assume they mean put something in it and not just, like, throw it to the ground very hard.
I would assume.
Right, after scoring. Some on the Facebook page here, some serious, some not. Manage a game, hold on to the ball, get some takeaways from Kevin. Then the three keys from Chad were Siesta Key, Key Largo, and Bahia Honda Key. Is that right? All right. Tristan said stop the run, contain the quarterback, score points. Dustin went with Bortles gets the flu, Gene Hackman takes the reins, and Shane Falco throws three touchdowns.
Falco!
Yes. Josh Stewart, score on defense. Bortles accounts for two TDs. Hold the Titans below 20 points. Hashtag Merry Christmas. Hashtag Jaguars Today. We appreciate that. Garrett Green, lose out. Hire Tom Coughlin. draft number 3 overall. These are my keys to seasonal victories. This year is shot. Skyler said, for me, get on my cruise ship, get crazy drunk before the game, and pretend Blake Bortles is a decent quarterback. Merry Christmas to everyone out there. Sounds like he's got a plan for the weekend, Tony.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like the wording of Blake Bortles accounting for 2 touchdowns. That's a dangerous...
Accounting for 2 Jaguar touchdowns would have been better, right?
Yes.
One key word left out.
Blake accounting for touchdowns is dangerous.
Got to start a new streak sometime, Tony.
I guess.
Didn't have one last week. Pete said, happy Festus. The airing of the grievances. Why did we have our franchise quarterback position coach, someone who's never played quarterback? Who's the idiot who thought that was a good idea? And we wonder why Blake is in a downward spiral. Not that there's anything wrong with that, to tie in the Seinfeld references. I bet you there are more offense coordinators out there who've not played quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know all the quarterback coaches around the league, so.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know. I can't say specifically.
I bet a bunch of them played quarterback, but I'm guessing some of them haven't.
Like, I looked up Josh McDaniels, for instance. McDaniels played quarterback in high school, and then he went to college, he got beat out, and he became a wide receiver. So, didn't really play beyond high school. Does that help you? I guess it does to some degree. I don't know. You know, we've heard over the years people try to compare their high school quarterback experience to that of much more seasoned professionals, and I don't always think that's a even one-to-one kind of evaluation.
Probably not.
No. Tyler Devitt, Merry Christmas to you, man. What, are you going to get crazy drunk and do something stupid at the party tonight?
It's actually an increased possibility than normal because I live right across the street from Maggiano's. Like, I could pretty much roll out of bed and be inside Maggiano's.
Nice!
Yeah, so it's a good possibility I will have a couple and be responsible.
That sounds excellent. I was talking to my barber yesterday. I got my haircut yesterday. And he was telling me that he had this great foosball table, right, at one point, and he gave it to his kid to take with him to college. And, of course, it came back ruined, but he said that his kid said, Dad, you know, I'll say thanks because the line of, hey, would you like to come back to my apartment and play a little foosball really went over well with the ladies, right? And they're like, wow, you got a foosball table. So, Tyler, is there some kind of entertainment thing that you've got there? Some random female at Maggiano's may be lucky enough to be invited back to participate in one of your activities. What do you got?
I just bought the brand new Call of Duty, so if any females are interested,
ladies,
come on over.
Wait, here's what I would do, ladies. It's a target-rich environment, okay? You head down to Maggiano's. You sidle up to the bar, around 8:30. Have a cocktail or two, and you catch, eligible guys like Tyler and Tony, and I can't speak for anybody else, on their way out with a couple under their belts. Go back, play a little Call of Duty. Have a happy, happy holiday season. How you feel about that idea, Tone?
I'm all right with it, except, I'm working tomorrow at 8 a.m., so
yeah,
is Tyler, for that matter.
That's tomorrow, okay? That is tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
I am working tomorrow as well, just not as early as you guys. And I'm not going to the party because I got to work tonight as well. Because I'm just a hard-working man. Hey, good luck to the Jags getting their third victory of the season, their first in Everbank this year. How can this not inspire them onto greater heights than they've ever achieved before, all right? That'll do it for us today. Thanks to all of you out there. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy Hanukkah, Festivus, Kwanzaa. I don't know what you celebrate. But try to be nice to each other, at least for the next few days. And then we can all go back to being the people that we are after that. This is how I'm going to do it anyway. All right. That does it for us. Merry Christmas, Tony.
Merry Christmas.
Merry
Mike.
Christmas, Tyler Devitt. Merry
thank
Christmas,
you, you.
Joe Fortunato and everybody else out there. Thanks, everybody at 1010XL, for letting us continue to do this to the Jags as well. And appreciate everybody who listens or tweets or feedback, gives us some feedback on Facebook, whatever the case may be. You know who you are out there. Happy holidays to all of you. We'll say hello to the Midday Chalk coming up next. Thanks to our friends at Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. They bring you the show every Friday, 287-7756. If you've got any roofing needs, make that call. Midday Chalk next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Do you know what I know?
True or false, Bill Belichick goes caroling every year.
Love caroling.
You guys have a good day. Peace.